starting in verse 7, "And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat." And now again, this is Elkanah and his two wives. Peninnah is provoking Hannah and is breaking her heart. I can have kids, you can't. Again, among all the issues that would happen in this kind of a relationship where you've got just far too many people in it. And we looked at all that last week. But verse 8, "Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Now again, Elkanah does not get it. He's being passive. He is not really addressing the issues within the family. Neither he doesn't know because they're keeping it from him, or he's got that kind of husbandly blindness some of us can put onto the problems in the house. But nonetheless, he doesn't get it. Verse 9, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." And of course we can imagine that in our minds. There she is. This is not a prayer that she wants anybody else to hear. She's just muttering it. Eli is looking over. All he sees is this grief-racked woman muttering underneath her breath. And he makes the assumption that she's drunk. "And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. You know what? I can think of 1,000 things to ask God for. And we've dealt with some pretty heavy news over the last couple weeks as a church. We have. And it seems like we've got moments as a church collectively when we pray where there's a lot of requests and then we get a lot of answers. And then sometimes there's things that are still yet to be resolved and some things that didn't quite go the way we wanted to. But those requests, they vary from varying degrees of seriousness. We've got things, well, hey, pray that everything go well in this event that we're doing, right? And whether it rains, whether it shines, it really doesn't matter. But we just pray that the Lord bless the day with good things. And then there are things where we're praying for life or death issues. And of course, those we take seriously and we have a serious heart. For Hannah here, she was brokenhearted about her request. You know, was this a life or death thing? No. Was this necessarily something that she needed to be able to strive and function? Was this that on the same level of someone being ill or the mortgage being way past due? Or was there a need that was not being met? No, she had everything she needed, but she wanted something, and it gripped her heart to have it. Now listen, we are told, no matter what the size of our request, to go to God for it. Let's make no mistake. If we're having something, let's say, hey, Lord, please pray that we have sunshine. I don't think that it's a sin to ask that God give us sunshine. We're asked to do those things. We're commanded to make those requests. And as well for the bigger things, right? We come back from the doctor. We get a bad phone call from a family member. It's important for us to get down on our knees and pray for that just as well. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." Now, what things, according to this verse? Everything, right? Hey, listen, you know, can the kids get together? And hey, that's, you're up here. Can the kids get together and pray for a test that they've got. Yes, you should pray for your test. Can I pray that tomorrow all the flowers come in that I ordered for my front yard? I think it's well past flower time, but can I pray for that? Yes, everything. Now, what about this big stuff, this important stuff? Do you think God cares about this illness? Do you think God cares about what's happening in my family? Yes, everything. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but as in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not only are we told to bring those requests, but God, Jesus Christ, as he sits on the throne next to his Father, he understands those requests. He feels those requests. Especially when we come to the Lord and we say, listen, Lord, I'm struggling with this sin. Jesus Christ went to the cross for that sin. Do you think he's going to respect you coming and asking for deliverance from temptation? He absolutely will. So we're commanded to go to the Lord of prayer. We're commanded to do that. But I think sometimes in our coming to the Lord, we lose a grip on the process of coming to the Lord. And not just the process, but we lose sight of the mindset that we're supposed to have when we boldly approach the throne. It says boldly. It does not say sloppily. It says boldly, not just boldly when you decide you're going to go, but go there and be bold about it. Be normal about it. I remember when I first started coming through that door to get into the church, and it was nerve-wracking at first. I would always, hello, hello, and I'd walk through to make sure there's nobody, hello, and I'd go and I'd sit down, and it'd be weird, and I'd put my bag in just a certain place, and nowadays it's not like that. I'll come in, I'll drop the bag on the chair, I'll close the door, and if you're in here, you're in here. I've lost some of the particularness of it, and I don't think that's necessarily bad, but it's not, I no longer come in second-guessing everything. Our prayer should be bold, right? When I walk in and I'm comfortable to come talk to the Lord, but I'm not so comfortable I forget where I'm standing, right? I should have a matter of respect, but it is supposed to be a boldness. And I saw this video, point number one in our message here, keep your requests in perspective. Keep your requests in perspective. I saw a video from a preacher who likes to answer questions that folks have, and I've never seen this preacher before, and I didn't really even listen to the full video, but the little title caught my attention, because the title on it was always the question that the person asks, and then the preacher, from a biblical standpoint, tries to answer that question, and it caught my attention, and I felt just a little bit attacked. It says, why did God make me ugly? Now, for a reason, I stopped because I was personally curious about that. I won't tell you why that interested me so much, but it caught my attention. Why did God make me ugly? And I couldn't help myself. I clicked on that. And the video doesn't go into what the person thinks is wrong with them. Is it that they just look like me, or were they born with some kind of deformity? Who knows? All right, so I don't want to get too much into that, but what they described was that because every morning when they would pray that God would make them better looking, and it didn't happen, it was disrupting the relationship between them and God. And I go, that's kind of ridiculous. I'm sorry, I get that there's a big drive that you've got to look a certain way, and to be honest with you, I've never been all that handsome, so I've never really felt like that's something I could attain to, right? I was born, I look in the mirror when I was a kid and said, one day I'll grow up and I'll not be so awkward looking, and I grew up and I just kept getting more awkward and it didn't change, and maybe I just gave up on the idea, but I understand to certain people you've got to look a certain way, and for the rest of us like me, you just do the best you can with what you got. But for that to be such a large concern that someone is willing to hurt themselves, or from the Christian perspective disrupt the relationship they have with God over it, that's a problem. That is a desire out of focus. I knew somebody that they'd always sit there and they'd say, hey, listen, I got these scratch-off tickets. Will you pray the Lord help me win one? And of course, I think I've said this before, my opinion on scratch-off tickets, if you like them, I tell you what, this is what we will do. You hand me $20, I'll hand you back $5 and kick you in the shin 4 times. We'll call it a day. And that's really all that is. That's how that game goes. Give us any kind of gambling like that. That's what it is. You give us more money. I give you a little bit of money, just enough so you still have hope. And you walk away with a little bit of hope and you're a little bit lighter in the wallet and you're happy and I'm rich. And that's really how the lottery works, by the way. But just, hey, pray that I win the lottery. I'm not going to pray you win the lottery. Right? We need to keep our prayer requests in perspective. Is this a right thing for me to pray for? Now, in Hannah's particular case, you can pray for a child. Right? That's perfect. Go ahead. If that broke her heart, now I don't want to get into where I question her reasons why. You should never have a child out of jealousy. You should never have one for any other reason than the fact that, hey, there's somebody I can love. It should never be about, you know, settling a score with Penina or anything like that. But it's okay to pray for that sort of thing. But we also have to kind of take our reactions to not getting those things into perspective. God's not going to answer every request we have. As a matter of fact, he never promised to do that. I think we get the wrong perspective on God himself when we think that God owes us things. That just because he's able to do something, he needs to do that for me. Even in the realms of how and what we pray for. The important thing here is that we do not always get what we think we should have. And it's good to keep things into a proper perspective. If there are life or spiritually threatening issues, that is a very serious thing and requires a very serious attitude. Then there are the wants. If it's a want, you know, I wish my nose were bigger, I wish my car was shinier, I wish my flowers would grow, these things are okay to ask God, but they're not heart-rending things. Right? We got to keep those things into perspective. Some people, they get brokenhearted over things that have nothing to do with anything serious. Right? Well, my nose didn't shrink, or this didn't happen, that didn't happen. Again, we're pretty blessed. Right? You woke up this morning, and I didn't, you know, I got some prayer requests. You know, pray for Brother Art. He's at home today. He had a procedure, and he's just kind of waiting for it to heal. He's okay. But he's just, you know, good for him to sit down right now. But for the most part, we all woke up. And well, there's that. We all woke up. You on the right side of the dirt today? You're doing all right. Right? And everybody else in the house, unless somebody's hiding something from me, everybody else woke up too. We're doing all right. You drove in a car. I'm looking around. Everyone's got their fall stuff on today. Everyone's feeling relatively warm. Right? That's good. Right? You full? Anybody here, you had dinner today? You're doing all right. If not, don't be embarrassed. Let us know. We'll feed you. Right? I don't have anything left in the refrigerator, but we'll find something. But you understand what I'm saying? And even if you don't, you're a part of a group that has that can give to you. You understand? Like you're blessed. You know what? So if you were late today because you caught a couple trains or whatever have you, God did not abandon you. Right? If you were hoping for a promotion and you didn't get it, God has not forsaken you. Right? It's just a matter of, well, that's not my will for you right now. That's not what I'm going to give you right now. And even in the big things where we sit there, we say, Lord, this is exactly how I want it to play out. Just because we want it that way doesn't mean it's best that way. Right? It doesn't mean that's necessarily the way it needs to work out for the best. You know, I've got a lot of desires that perhaps under a certain light I would see as selfish ones if I really looked at it. And then there are things that, of course, it's good for me to pray for, but not okay for me to get bent out of shape over. Right? There are things that we need, right? Can we list some of the things we know we need? We need healing. Whether it's a disease or we got, you know, a lot on the prayer request for cancers and things like that. That is a need that we pray for healing. How about provisions? Pray for so-and-so as they look for a job. Praying for so-and-so as they try to get out of this financial trouble that they're in. Praying to make sure there's enough food, there's enough warmth, there's enough shelter. Praying for all of those things. That's important. We need our daily provisions. What about strength? Right? Strength to be able to do the things that I'm supposed to. And of course, the thing we need, and we need it every day, sometimes multiple times a day, we need forgiveness. We take those seriously. We are mindful of those things, right? We're careful of those things, and we need to be adamant about those things, going back to the Lord on a regular basis. Then, of course, there's the things you want. Perfectly okay to pray for the things that you want, but understand that that's what they are. right? I would sit there and I would pray that the Lord would somehow give me a promotion, get me a better job, get me this, get me that. And you know what? If I showed up to work and I found out the promotion went to somebody else, that's fine. Because I was still going home to a house, to a family. I was still going to put gas in the car. I was still going to feed the family. Things were going to be okay. I just didn't get what I wanted. And I'm a grown up and I can handle not getting the things I want, right? We develop that maturity, right? So increase. I want more of what I have. Or I want new of what I have. Give me the ability to attain something new. And you know what? Lord blesses that way too, doesn't he? With just when you need something, all of a sudden, hey, there you go. Can you take care of this? Or, hey, I'd like to help you with that. Or something just happens and you're like, hey, you know what? I was looking for a brand new this and oh, there it is. The Lord blesses in that. It's okay. But don't be unsatisfied with what you have just because the new thing hasn't come by yet. And can I just say this? There's always something new. There's always something new, right? You'll buy a brand new phone this year. By the end of the year, they'll have another one just like it, but just a little bit better, right? Comes in, what was that, that pink gold or whatever, that rose gold, right? They have it now, but there's a better color coming tomorrow. Relax. We need to be happy with what we have. And then we can praise the Lord even louder when we get the thing, right? I got a proper perspective. And of course, any kind of blessing that falls into that. Now, another part of our prayer life isn't just the gimmies. It's the brokenheartedness, right? Sometimes a lot of my prayers are just, Lord, help me to focus. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to get. Lord, help me to be able to process what's going on here or there. You know, we're at the men's prayer thing on Sunday, and we're talking about some pretty heavy things, and the countenance of a lot of the men around the room were just sad. We understand what God was doing in those situations. It breaks our heart to see it, but we understand. And as we're sitting there, our heads are bowed, we're quiet, there's one of my kids making animal noises. He didn't get it. I kind of chuckled at it. He didn't know we were sad. He couldn't read it. He's blip, 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 blip. You know what? I pray, Lord, help me to have that kind of heart to where I'm touched by things, but not destroyed by things. Because we know the difference, right? I can sit there, I can let a tear roll down my face. I can weep, I can mourn, I can grieve. I can get upset about certain things to a certain degree. But help me never to be so touched that I'm destroyed. Right? Let me feel, let me be effective at the same time though. Right? I don't want to be part of the problem. Now we see that it's good for us to ask and we need to be faithful in our asking. Verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. What we're seeing here with Hannah is that, well, she was hurting. She went to pray, and you know what? That's good. She was hurting, and she went to pray. Not she was hurting, so she got on Facebook to rant about it. Not she was hurting, so she picked a fight with her husband. Not she was hurting, so she hit Penina with a toaster. Not she was hurting, so she buried herself in medication, her self-diagnosed mental illness. What did she do? She was hurting, so she prayed. Now, again, let's not just throw the word prayed in there. Right, I heard a song today by Greater Vision. I had to switch the song. It says, prayer is just as big as God is. That doesn't make any sense. Because prayer, by definition, is asking God. So asking God is as big as God is. No, go to the Lord. If I'm sad, I go to the Lord. Now think about it. How many of you find something funny? Somebody sends you something funny, right? A friend of yours will send you something funny on your phone, in your email, or something like that. Right, I've got a lady, she keeps sending me diet tips over the email. I'm starting to feel attacked. But you get something funny. What do? When you get something funny on the phone? You laugh about it, and you go get somebody else to laugh at it with you. Why? Because that's funny. Right? You'll share it to your friends. You'll email it. You'll text it. You'll do whatever it is you do, or email it, or maybe you just kind of look at it and wait for someone to come over because it's on your fridge. I don't know what you do. But you share it. Why? Because funny things get shared. And you know certain people you could go to with that thing, Right? I talk about that video. Why did God make me ugly? I got a particular friend. I sent that straight to him. He says, is this any good? I go, I don't know, but I was wondering if that was your question. Did you ask this preacher this? That's the relationship I have with him. We do that. Well, when I'm hurt, I go to God. Now, I might go to other people too, but I go to him first. Because a lot of times, just talking to him and reading through scriptures, things fall back into perspective. And I get a good understanding. And then when I go to others and they give me advice and they're sharing verses and they're sharing things, the answer is always the same. Now it's not just me going to my friend to gripe about it. They're showing me scriptures, which means they're pointing to me what God has to say about it. Now it's a group conversation with the Lord, and they're praying for me. And they're checking back in saying, hey, brother, I know your heart was hurt over this. How did everything go there? And we're talking about it. We're praying about it. We're going to God about it. Of all the reactions, the destructive reactions we have to troubles and trials and wants and worries, wouldn't it just be better if we went to God? I mean, think about it. Somebody had a bad time of something, and they stirred everyone up around them. You got to ask yourself, did you really go to God first about this? Or did you just start ringing the bells? Right? And we get people like that all the time. I get phone calls in the middle of the night. My smoke alarm's going off. And you'd hear it in the back. Beep. And they're sitting there panicking for 2 or 3 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes. In the background, you hear, beep. Now, I don't know if you know anything about that, but that is not your smoke alarm going off. It does not merit you calling me at 2 a.m. in the morning, get the broom like Grandmama did, and knock it down. Right? And say, well, you'll charge me for it. Not if you say I had a choice between knocking it over at 2 a.m. or calling you. I will always give you a free smoke detector. That was my rule. You let me sleep, free smoke detector. But, it's on fire. Something's on fire somewhere. Everything's going. It just needs a new battery. Right? You've maybe run out of energy. Maybe you've kind of come unglued a little bit. All you need is a minor repair. You need to go to the Lord and get things into perspective. And all of a sudden, you're ready to actually deal with it. Right? We kind of joke about work. You know, people to take smoke breaks at work. Maybe you need to take prayer breaks at work. Right? Just kind of walk outside. Not maybe where the smokers are, because that'll get you sick. But somewhere else. And take a moment. Lord, before I email this person back, before I go over to this area, help me. Help me to understand. Not in a I'm already ready to fight kind of way, but in actually asking for grace and wisdom and strength kind of way. As we go to the Lord, it's important for us to be faithful, but to ask in particular ways. E.M. Bounds said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. I think we've forgotten how to pray in certain ways. Now again, we pray together as a church. We do, don't we? We got our prayer meetings. We get together. We've got different areas and different things. We got a prayer request list. But how faithful are we to get down on our knees in a private sense and pray? And I'm not just talking about in the family, but you personally. To have that habit of humbly going before the Lord. Luke 18 verse 9 is the story of the Pharisee and the publican, right? What did the Pharisee do? He got up right where everybody could see him. Lord, boy, I thank you so much. You didn't make me like this publican and all these sinners and all these people. And he just, the whole list of why he was so awesome, he prayed in front of everybody. That prayer wasn't for the Lord. It didn't even make it to the Lord. It got right up to the ceiling, came right back down. That was it. Now, who was it that Jesus pointed out? The publican who just asked mercy for him, a sinner. Right? Humbly going before the Lord. Now, Lord, you owe me. No, you don't. I'm not dating myself, but you might be dating yourself. Anybody watch Happy Days? Back when that was on brand new? What was it that Fonzie always said? What did Fonzie always say? He'd look up to the ceiling and say, I thought I was your favorite. You kind of sit there and you go, ooh, that's on TV during that. That's a bad time to be doing it. But people ate that up. You know what? You're not God's favorite. He's got a whole lot of us. He don't play favorites like this. His God is not a respecter of persons. And your relationship with the Lord will be affected by how you see yourself in his eyes. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. But you are not in a position to say, I deserve. You owe. If the Lord saved your soul, you've got a debt you'll never be able to pay off. It's just the truth of it. There is nothing on earth you can bring to God that justifies the cost that your sin did. And aren't you glad he paid it off? Didn't wipe it, didn't make it go away, didn't ignore it, didn't change the rules for you. Took that blood and put it to the cost of your sin. Paid it, didn't wipe it, paid it. And not just in a humble way of going to the Lord, but regularly going to the Lord. And we can sit there and say, well, how often should I pray? The Bible says, I should always be in the attitude of prayer. And we look at Daniel. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. You know what? Pray. You need to have conversations with God. How often would you have conversations with somebody you love as much as God? That's how often you should be praying. Right? Now, I also believe you ought to set particular times, because if you don't keep appointments, you might miss them. I think you should have them. But you should never have a limit as to how often, how long, or that sort of thing, right? We need regular prayer lives. And not just regularly, but respectfully. I like the story. A visiting farmer stopped at a city restaurant to eat lunch. When he was served his food, he bowed his head and gave thanks to the Lord. Some teenagers sitting at a nearby table noticed the farmer's prayer and shouted, "Hey, Pops, back where you came from, does everybody pray before they eat?" Their laughter was silenced when the unmoved farmer answered, "Everyone but the hogs." Do you pray before you eat? Now, I like that story. I think it's cute. I don't think I chuckled when I read it, but I thought it was cute. But ultimately, look at it. That farmer took a trip. It means he had a car. It means he had gas. It means he had some place to go. He had a job. He was a farmer, so he had a vocation. Right, he had the health to make the trip. I know some people that would like to make a trip, can't make a trip, right? We all know those people. He had the health in his bones. He also had a little bit of extra money in his pocket to stop off right there at the diner and eat. Right, busy with his business, had time to stop and eat, had money to stop and eat. God blessed him all those things. You say, well, those are normal things. Those are not normal things. They're not. Those are blessings to have. Let's get on an airplane. Let's go to some places where the majority of the world can't do all the things that were listed in that cute little story, right? There's no diners around them. There's nothing growing on the farm. There's no trucks to take them anywhere. And if you are in a truck, you're probably going to get shot and the truck's going to get stolen, right? They talk about that stuff all the time, right? So he's got everything. So he had the respect to the Lord to go to him and say, thank you. Why do we pray before we eat? You ever thought about that? Well, it's because I'm supposed to. God's neat. Let's eat. Let's go. Why do we pray? Because you very well might not have food, but you do. You very well might not be able to eat the food, but you can. There might be a time where you don't have the amenities in your kitchen, or the amenities in the kitchen don't work right, or there's no food to be had anywhere. Right? You may be in that position. So you know what? While I've got it, thank you. I'm going to stop and show that respect that this came from God. And I like that illustration the dentist used in his sermon. Oh, we gave this to you. Well, yeah, but who do you think gave it to you? Right? God worked all this out. Puts us in the right place at the right time to both be a blessing and every now and then when we need it to get a blessing. Right? We stop and we show the respect to God by thanking him. Now, can I ask you this? It's a little personal. Many of you, you've got grown-up kids. You ever wish they talked to you more? We get it. They're busy with their lives. They're doing their things, and they're busy. You respect that. But wouldn't it sure be nice if they called every now and then, a little bit more and often than normal? Now, I hope every single person in here is going, no, brother, I wish they'd stop calling me all the time. But I'd hope they call you so often, and you're like, no, we're good. But man, wouldn't you say, well, I wish they'd acknowledge me in this brand new life that they have every now and then. I don't want to preside over it. I don't want to interrupt it. I just throw me a call every now and then. Shoot me a text message. Show me. You think the Lord ever sits there and says, man, I do all this for them and they don't talk to me much. All these things, I am daily providing them with benefits and yet I rarely hear from them. Now, as we look at Hannah, this was it for her as far as the moaning and the crying and the weeping. She made her request. She was faithful in making this request, right? Here's some bad. I'm going to take that bad to the Lord. Hannah did a lot of stuff right here, right? Eli said, well, Lord bless you. Verse 18, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She went about the rest of her life. I've met some people that, what's the phrase? Like to milk it. Whatever sorrow, whatever bad's happened in their life, man, they mine that for all the pity they can get. She could have sat there and just walked away from Eli, joined with Elkanah, made a sad look over at Peninnah, and just marched it all the way home. She could have pouted the whole way. Right? And I've known a lot of people that would do that. I asked God for something, and I haven't gotten it yet. So now here I am, sad countenance. I've got to put on the whole depressed demeanor just to get some pity. Now, of course, there are people who are really suffering. Not talking about that. We're talking about wants not being met. She would have survived without this child. She would have lived a long life without this child. But she made her request. She picked up her face and she went. I like this illustration that I heard one time. A woman came to her pastor in tears, just broken. She begged the pastor to pray for her medical procedure that she had coming up. The pastor, seeing how broken she was, grabbed his wife and they went into the office and they prayed. They prayed and they talked her through her fears, and she sadly limped her way out, tears just flowing, beat to death with worry. Wednesday came around, and there she was back at church with just the strangest look on her face. The pastor ran over and asked, how did it go? How are you? And she said, oh, I'm fine. Slowly, mobility's coming back, and it's going to be a struggle for another week or so, but I'll get by somehow. The pastor said, I'm really embarrassed, but I never asked you what your surgery was on. She said, oh, it wasn't surgery. It was a procedure. I got Botox. And you think, now I'll pray for you getting Botox. But to put that much energy into it, you know what I'm saying? Just the downbeat and the downtrodden. Oh, they're out of bananas at the Kroger again. Kind of the kind of silliness behind it. And then you've got some folks who go through serious problems. I don't know why it is, but whenever loss happens in a place, you always get one or two people who try to look back at the last words they said to that person as if what you really need on this mountain of grief is just a little bit of guilt. And that sounds very real, doesn't it? Well, I never said I love them. You said I love them I love you 1 million times to that person, right? If Danielle, if I ever die out in the car, out on the road somewhere, I don't want Danielle to sit there and say, the last words I ever said to him was pick up milk. Because she did a pretty good job for the rest of her life getting me to understand that she loves me. Right? And for her to have to sit there, what am I going to do with these kids? How am I going to do this? And what are we going to do on top of everything she's got to deal with? Why on earth would you reach back to the last thing I asked him about was milk? Don't do that. And I think many of us, we've been there. What was the last thing I said? What was the last thing I did? The last thing we did was argue. You know what? That happens. And don't think that 5 seconds before somebody died colors the rest of their lives with you. You understand? Let's not add to an already problematic situation with imaginary grief. You understand? All right, there are people who could pass away right now. And maybe it's that friend. The last thing I ever said to them was, hey, did you send in this question of why did God make me ugly? And I would I'm not going to reach back. I hope I wouldn't reach back there and grab for that and say, hey, I'm a bad friend. Right? I would hope that at one particular point, because if we ever saw each other again, him and I are going to look at each other. We're going to laugh about that. I don't have to sit there and try to imagine more damage where there's already problems. You understand? So we've got to keep things in perspective. Pick up your countenance after we've made our prayer. If you're going to be okay, act like you're going to be okay. Right? This woman was starving herself, getting sick over having a baby. And listen, I don't want to cheapen what it was she was asking for. I don't want to cheapen anyone's prayers. But real faith is saying, Lord, if you're asking me to bring you my burdens and I bring them to you, I don't worry about them as I walk away. I trust that whether you say yes, no, or wait, you're going to have the right answer. Now listen, some burdens are heavier than others. You leave walking funny after you put them down, right? Right? We've all got those burdens we carry around. And with, as much as we would love to say, okay, yeah, I'm laying this prayer request down and I don't have to worry about it. Yeah, it's going to be hard to leave it there. Right? You've been carrying it around for so long, or it's so heavy, it's hard to leave where it is. I get that. But we got to try. I've got to sit there and believe that no matter what God does with this, it's going to be okay. And I may not be happy, and I may hurt, and I may cry, but you know what? That's what's going to happen. And what we need to do is we need to continue to take care of ourselves in these things. That as the bad things happen, we continue to, well, we continue to live. Matthew 6:16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, and that's the truth. I've met some people, the only thing you ever know about them is all the bad things that have ever happened. And you'll talk to them and say, well, how did that story end? Oh, well, everything's fine now. Okay, but if it's fine, why is this? Well, you know, it's interesting. Let it go. Don't be so tore up about it. Now, again, there are things you just don't let down, right? There are serious hurts. But in the realm of the smaller things, the things that are on the want sides, let's go. I've met some people, we're getting at that age, some of us in my friend group, where they're realizing that all their dreams have not come true. Can I tell something to some of you young teenagers in the room, some of you older teenagers in the room? Not all your dreams are going to come true. It is not going to happen. Right? You go after it, you work hard, you do all you want. But don't you dare sit there and never go, I could have been something. You are something. You understand? You are. Don't let the minor things completely destroy you. Don't get so tore up and bent out of shape because you didn't get every corner office and you didn't get the skyscraper apartment and you didn't get all the things you thought you should have. You know what? You're doing fine. Just if you're serving the Lord and you're doing things right, and you're a good steward of what you have, be happy, be okay with that. Too many people sit there and all you see about them is their sadness that, well, Dad didn't take me fishing enough and I didn't get the car that I thought I should have and I don't have the job I want. Why would we mourn over things? Especially things we do have a modicum of control over, right? I tell you what, I had the job for the longest time, right? What was I doing? Scrubbing McDonald's floors. I didn't like it. What did I do? I worked hard and I prayed. And I looked for opportunities. An opportunity, what did the Lord do? He dropped one on me. And guess what? I wasn't happy with that one either. At least I was happy, but I wasn't satisfied. And somebody told me one day, I was sitting there, I'm like, I hated my job. I hated the things were going. Somebody told me this, you know what? You have a choice. You could love what you're doing and do a lot better at it. It's your attitude. You know what I started to do? I was sitting there at the McDonald's. I was scrubbing those floors. I was like, you know what? I might as well praise the Lord while I'm here. I had a good time. I was working two jobs, breaking my back at two different jobs that really paid me disrespectfully. It wasn't very good, right? So for all the stuff I was doing, it wasn't a lot, but I was there and I was having it and the Lord gave it to me and I had the strength to do it and everything was going good. And I chose to praise the Lord for it. And my heart changed. And I got a new job. And you know what? I got to go into the brand new job with a changed heart. Now I'm thankful. Now, do I have to keep it? No. Keep working. Keep pushing. Keep being a good steward. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing until that happens. But what you don't do is sit there and get like so many people in this world do, where you drop your face and you look sad. You know what? If you've made a request to the Lord and it's chewing you up that you haven't gotten an answer, keep eating. Not like stress eating, not like, don't do that. But get up, take care of yourself. Get up, make yourself a bowl of eggs. Get your orange juice, get your coffee. Get up. No, you don't understand. It's very difficult. Yeah, it's difficult. The devil wants it to be difficult. Get up, get your eggs, get your coffee, get your breakfast, and let's get moving. Now, what about your chores? Handle the stuff you got to do. There's a big difference between choosing to be operating during troubles and choosing to ignore troubles. Don't ignore the troubles. Handle your stuff. Right? There was a lady, she called me, I don't like my apartment, I hate my apartment, it's too small, it's too cramped, I can barely walk through here, I hate my apartment. I go over to take a look at the apartment to see what she hates so much about it. She was a hoarder, there was no walking through the thing. And I walked out, I go, ma'am, how you could even see the apartment to hate it, I don't know. Now, part of the problem there was there was probably something wrong. The other part of it was having that much stuff in your house causes problems. What's the solution? We attack the problem. Oh, but you see, I can't because of the initial thing that's causing me to make the problem. No, you attack that problem, and we attack that problem, and we handle the problems. Now we sit there, we say, well, I'm just broken and I can't fix stuff. I'm sad and I can't fix stuff. No, you can be sad and handle problems. You could be upset and brokenhearted and still function. Don't buy into this world's idea that you got to draw the shade, scream into your pillow, and shut down for 3 or 4 months. Right? That's a death sentence. Whatever's bothering you will get worse by doing that. Get up, get your chores done. Get up, get yourself taken care of. If there's any problems to handle, handle the problems. If you go, you know, a lot of people, they get sick. They refuse to go to the doctor over getting sick. And they sit there and say, well, Lord, just bless me with a body that gets sick. No, go to the doctor. Go to the doctor, get the medicine, take the medicine. Get that taken care of. And I tell you what, not only can you handle things when you're sad, but you can even make progress as you give your attitude and your heart to the Lord. You can make progress through those problems. You make problems through those issues. And you know what you should also do? You should continue on in worship. As she went up and she went out, she was happy. What did she come there for in the first place, right? As they were coming forward to worship the Lord. Let's continue to worship God in our regular lives. We can't adopt what I call, or what many people call, a victim mentality, where everything happens to me and there's nothing I can do. Right? You are not a victim if you're a child of God. As a child of God, you're not just a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. I'm trying to close this and I can't figure it out. You're more than just a victim to things. Right? We've got God's blessings that He doles out on us. Things that many of us in the room, we could stand up and give testimony. I thought I was sunk and then God did this. And I know it was God because there was no other way that would have happened. Right? It is beyond coincidence that such and such happened, right? And we can sit there and we can pull people together and say, hey, I was miserable and I was sad and everything was going wrong. But the Lord, I reached out to the Lord and I was talking to Him and a song came in and a verse came in. And all of a sudden everything started going a little bit better. I could handle the problem and it got me through that day. I woke up the next morning and He got me through that day too. We've all had those. The important thing is that we not surrender and say, well, I'm beaten. No, we go to the Lord. And we trust that as we've gone to Him, we are on His side. Because again, the Lord Jesus is not untouched by the things we struggle with. He sees you, He hears you, and He's expecting you to come to Him with those concerns. Let's not come to Him with the wrong heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to